Okay, so how was that exercise? Good. So what happened in the first part then, where I said to agree and mismatch? Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Takes all the energy out.
More and more
out of them, more and more mismatching.
Right.
This is something you agreed about.
We felt because we agreed on what we were talking about, we kept going back into it.
Right, without even thinking about it. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. What about this one? What happened to this one?
We lost it 30 seconds.
You lost it?
No, we lost it 30 seconds before we found Colin Brown.
That's pretty good. Is that what everybody else found? What do you?
So we actually managed to disagree the whole way through, but actually enjoyed it.
Right. Yeah. So how many people in the second one kind of like actually wound up agreeing? Yeah, a few of you. Okay. How many of you kind of like agreed to disagree?
Sort of.
Yeah. Or how many of you, well this, I mean, this is probably what you're talking about, like knew the other person didn't agree with you, but you didn't care. Yeah. You were going to get along with them anyway. Yeah. So obviously the reason for that is, if we think about how these are, we're talking about mind and body before lunch. These are wired up like this, and these are wired up like this. As in, when you agree with your mind, you tend to agree with your body. So you're like the match or mirror of the person's physiology. If you're disagreeing with your mind, you'll tend to disagree with your body, which will mean that you'll mismatch the person's physiology. What I did was I had to cross-wire them to create quite an unnatural situation. The one out of here that's the most useful is this one here. Because how many times are you faced with a disagreement, and what you've got to do is you've got to turn it around. You've got to turn around from a disagreement back around to an agreement again. A couple of areas in business particularly I can think about from there. Customer service with a complaining customer phoning. Yeah. They're disagreeing with you. So the thing there, the first thing to do really is to get rapport back is by you obviously wouldn't be mirroring them if it's on the phone, it'd be matching voice tonality. The other area is in sales. In sales, disagreements are called objections. And again, what you'll get is the objection comes up, the disagreement comes up. For you to have any hope of being able to deal with the objection, then what you need to do is to maintain the rapport. Interesting thing is, in sales that I've noticed, face-to-face sales, is that before your prospective client can actually raise the objection, they will automatically and unconsciously have to do this first. Because they can't disagree with you and be in rapport. You found that out. So they'll telegraph their objections to you. You'll know an objection's on its way before they give you the objection, because they'll break rapport. They'll shift their physiology. So what do? Before they've even had a chance to say it.
Match it.
Yeah? Get the rapport back. It takes all of the energy out of the objection, all the energy out of the disagreement. Then you can use some of the techniques like reframing, which we'll cover later in the week, to actually handle the objection. But no matter how good you are at reframing, you're not going to handle it if you haven't got the rapport back. So you need to get the rapport back by matching and mirroring. But prospective clients actually telegraph there's an objection coming, because they'll shift their physiology just before they deliver it.
It's really interesting, because I actually work in customer service, and for many years we have said, you always maintain a calm voice.
Yeah.
And I have had experience of somebody doing that to me when I've been really angry, and that made me even more furious.
I know, because what they're doing is they're mismatching.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, you're going like, rah, but now just calm down. Everything will be okay. What happens? Straight through the roof, Whereas in actual fact, what you want to hear on the other end of the phone is that the person on the other end of the phone is angry about it as well, not angry at you. So they're angry. Like if I'm the customer service, you're the angry customer. You phone me up, and even though you don't even know me, you're angry at me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if I can manage to get us both angry at this, which is the problem, then we have rapport, and it takes all the energy out of it.
This is going to change a lot of my training that I do.
It really makes a massive difference, and it works absolutely tremendously. You know, it's like, what you need to do is match your mirror the physiology, match the voice. We're going to do an exercise on voice matching next, but be non-confrontational in the words you use. In fact, what I found the best thing to do is to actually match voice tonality, match your mirror physiology, and agree with the words. By going like, you know, I'm really angry about that. That should never have happened. Let's see what we can do about it. And they go like, oh, yeah, okay. And it's also a pattern interrupt, because they're not expecting that at all. You know, they're expecting the, now just calm down. But when you're angry as well about the same thing, instant rapport, all the energy goes. And it literally goes like, pops. It's like a balloon pops. It's gone.
Does that mean if you're going into a business meeting with someone that you know is going to disagree with you, you should never stand up and present to them in the standard format, because it's very hard to match them. If you're standing there and I'm sitting here, should you always try and avoid that? If
I knew they were going to disagree with me right at the start, I probably wouldn't start the meeting with the presentation. I'd probably start with something else, sat down, where I could get the rapport before I started the presentation. It's probably what I would do. Yeah.
You can't do that?
That's a limiting belief.
You could say, if you've got any questions, ask them at the end. And that allows you to get on.
Yeah, but if they're sitting there and they're out of rapport with you, because you already know that they've got a disagreement with you, I'd rather get the disagreement handled before the presentation. And certainly I agree with, like, I always set it up, there's a certain place for questions and answers when I do a presentation, rather than being all the way through the presentation. But if I knew there was a disagreement before I showed up, I'd want to get that dealt with before I started doing the presentation, get it cleared out of the way.
Is there a time when it's ready to match rather than mirror?
Some books I've read say that you can get rapport more quickly with mirroring. There's the stuff on the tapes about the idea that with mirroring, sometimes the other person might lose their referential index and think that what you're saying is their internal dialogue.
Yeah.
What I tend to do is I'm just running a situation in the mind. I would say, in general, I tend to do mirroring. But then, once I've got rapport, I might switch to matching. If I think there's that chance of that loss of identity. But as far as like the depth of rapport you get with them, I think it's kind of like academic. You know, I find that they both work. Mirroring might be a bit quicker. But again, there's not a lot in it, so